Hello, Rock Church. How are we doing? Good. Good. It's good to hear you sing. Good to worship the Lord together. I want to be in that band. They're awesome. So welcome to The Rock. My name's Caleb. I'm one of the pastors here. Allow me to maybe just one more time say Happy New Year to you. Glad that you're with us. Some of us in the new year are like, can we get a redo? Can we get a new fresh set of downs or first 10 days or something? And then maybe some of you are like, yeah, this is already way better than last year was. God's grace in this new year. We're continuing on in our Win, Build, Send series. We do this just about every year. This is part two. We'll be discussing our vision and our mission here at The Rock Church. And really, this talk, in most ways, is about the life-changing mission that God brings through the local church. So I've entitled this talk, A Life-Changing Mission. A quick shout out to Pastor Bill, who normally gives this talk. He's been so great at reminding us about the importance of vision in our lives all these years. He really is a visionary. Much of the message that I'll share today is just things that I've learned from him since 2007 when I joined The Rock. So I want to give him a shout out, but enough about him. A vision statement or a mission statement can be a lot like a rallying cry, a motto, a mantra for people and groups or groups. It's important that we know the motto that we live our life by, both as individuals and as a collective church. There's many famous mottos, mission statements, vision statements, philosophies, slogans, sayings, whatever you want to call them, in our world. Inspirational phrases that people have lived by, been directed by, and been given purpose by. For some large and successful companies, we'll look at a few that have some nice mission or vision statements. TED Talk, you know, you've probably heard it. They say their vision or their mission is to discover and spread ideas that spark conversation, deepen understanding, and drive meaningful change. NASA, that's important. NASA explores the unknown in air and space and innovates for the benefit of humanity and inspires the world through discovery. And finally, from companies, Southwest Airlines says they want to be the world's most loved, most efficient, most profitable airline. And some of you will agree and some of you will disagree in that. You can debate later. Throughout history, we've seen amazing inspirational ideas and mantras or mottos from influential men, things like Theodore Roosevelt. He said, speak softly and carry a big stick, you will go far. That's a memorable one. Kind of in the opposite vein, Gandhi said, be the change that you wish to see in the world. And of course, Martin Luther King Jr. said, I have a dream that my four little children one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That's a good one. And then, of course, we see a lot of memorable lines and mission statements or vision statements or mottos from things like television and TV, right? We see Hakuna Matata. That kind of shaped my whole generation. It's probably why my generation deals with so much anxiety, you know, thinking they can just put all their problems away. That doesn't work out too well. Batman, this is the best Batman, Christian Bale. I'll debate you on this. He said, it's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines me. That's important. But my personal favorite, maybe perhaps the most inspirational of all, is from this guy. You knew I was going here. It's just where I have to end up. When asked by his CEO, David Wallace, what he was doing as a manager that was making his branch so successful, Michael Scott lovably responded this way. My philosophy is basically this. And this is something that I live by, and I always have, and I always will. Don't ever, for any reason, do anything to anyone, for any reason, no matter what, no matter where, or who you are with, or where you're going, or where you've been, ever, for any reason whatsoever. And then, of course, he admits that, sometimes he'll start a sentence and just not know where it's going and hopes he finds it along the way. And I definitely feel like that a lot of the time. So that's why I wanted to share that one. But in all seriousness, vision is an important thing for our lives as individuals and as Christians. What we are living for, what are we doing What is this Christian life all about? What are we even doing here as a church, as a group of believers? Vision is so important. We see in Proverbs in the King James, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. In other translation, it says, with no vision, the people are unrestrained. So with a lack of vision, you can just wander around aimlessly, and that can bring destruction. Maybe you've experienced that. So what is the Rock's vision statement? Let's read this together aloud. One life at a time, one world in our lifetime. It's good. We have a vision here at the Rock to be a part of reaching the entire world for Jesus, to see in our lifetime people from every tongue, nation, and tribe hear about the good news that is found in Jesus Christ. That is our vision. That's our big picture desire of what we're aiming for. We'll discuss that more in a little bit. And then, of course, our mission. What is our mission statement? That's how we will seek to accomplish the vision. And we can read this together. Win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. That's where we get the name for this series. Again, we're really clever at naming things. It's why we reuse this as a series so often. We want you, we want all of us to hear that this is what we are all about at the Rock Church. We want to see the lost one saved, rescued for Jesus, by Jesus. We want to see those who have been saved to be built up in their faith, to grow in Christ's likeness. We as believers have a role in helping our brothers and sisters doing that, in that growth. And we want to send the sanctified believers out into the world, those who are being sanctified, to share the good news, to plant churches, and to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus in this lost world. And again, we'll discuss this more as we go. The work and the purpose of the local church really is a life-changing mission. I believe that with my whole heart. It's been for me and so for so many others here who have experienced that, a life-changing mission. And I'm excited to share more about that today. I really am. I love talking about the local church and its impact on your life. In this message, we're going to look at the what, the why, the how, and the when of this life-changing mission. But before we do that, let's pray and we'll dive in. Lord, we love you. We thank you for tonight. Thank you for a chance to sing to you, to worship you as you deserve. Lord, thank you for each person that's here, for you drawing them in. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that anything that is not from you would not be said tonight, that you would just hold my tongue if it's not from you. And those things that you would have me share, Lord, would you just say them clearly and plainly to your children. I pray that you would challenge us and exhort us to further trusting you and living for you and working and partnering alongside of you, Lord. We love you and we commit our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's first look together at the what, and that is our vision statement. The what is that we want to, our vision is one life at a time and one world in our lifetime. With Scripture as our lens, our vision at the Rock is that we as God's people have been sent out with a global assignment to reach the whole world. That's our vision. Starting first in our city, in Draper, and then in our county, and in our state, and then in our country, and to the ends of the earth. That's what Jesus called his apostles to. That's what he said in Acts 1:8 we see here. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's what we see, starting in their city and spreading out into their region and then to the ends of the earth. This, of course, is a shorter version of what we call the Great Commission. Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, told his disciples and followers what their new purpose in this life was, now that they were followers of Christ. We read that in Matthew 28. You've heard it. But again, Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am always with you to the end of the age. So that is our what, church? This is the vision that God has given us here at the Rock Church and has given really all Christian believers to reach the whole world for Christ, to partner with him to see more people become Jesus followers. Jesus really desires to reach all the nations. We see that in Matthew 24, 14. The gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Jesus is saying, before I come back, this is what's got to happen. The whole world will be told the gospel. So that's the goal. That's what we're all about. That's the top of the bulletin board. One world in our lifetime. And Christians have been trying to do that for 2,000 years. The way we accomplish this vision is by reaching one life at a time, to impact one life at a time, one person at a time, your neighbor, your coworker, the visitor here now, the person at the store that you run into, the people that we meet as we travel around the country and the world. We can meet one person and point that one person to Jesus and hopefully see them saved so that they can tell another person, which multiplies to the whole world. We went on a family vacation last April to Boston, one of my favorite cities. We went to one of my favorite places in the world, Fenway Park, to see one of my favorite teams, the Red Sox, play. And during the game, of all the thousands of people I could have sat next to in that stadium, I sat by a guy who was from Utah. And he was from Weber County, I think. He was also there on vacation. And we chatted a bit. I heard about his feelings, about faith, about God, kind of a little bit of his story. And I ended up getting to invite him to church while we were sitting there in Boston. I got to invite him to church here. I don't know that he's ever shown up, but God is just so cool in that way, that one life, right? If you think about reaching the entire world, that's kind of daunting. Again, my generation just like shuts down with that, right? We get overwhelmed. But that's a huge undertaking. But if you're just looking to reach one life at a time, then that feels more manageable. I can talk to the guy sitting next to me at the baseball game. I can talk to the guy that's sitting next to me at the restaurant or at the bus stop. I can talk to my coworker that's right next to me. And then they can go to one more person. And then they can go to one more person. And again, it just multiplies and spreads to the whole world. So let me ask you, do you need to broaden the vision of your life and your life's purpose as a Jesus follower? Do you need to do that? John Stott said this, we must be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God. This quote leads us right into our next big idea, which is the why. Jesus, his mission was to seek and save the lost. That's our why. Why do we have that vision of reaching the world? It's because Jesus did. This mission was Jesus' purpose in coming to the earth, and it still is as he is working through the Holy Spirit, as God works here on earth. It is his why, and so it should be ours too. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to save it. Jesus' heart breaks for those who are perishing, who are headed for hell, and said, "I will go and do something about it. I will lay down my life for them. I will go to the cross and take the punishment on me that they deserve, and I will give them my eternal life that they do not deserve." Just like Steele's new song that we just heard talks about, Jesus looked at the lost crowds with compassion and said, "They are like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, I would long to just gather them up in my arms." That is God's heart. That is Christ's heart. So that was his mission, and that is why it is ours. We see that in John. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus constantly said on earth, he said, "The Father sent me, and I am about my Father's work." And in the same way, we are now sent by Jesus, and we should be about Jesus' work. This is what we are saved for, Christian. Yes, we are saved from sin, from punishment, from condemnation, from hell. Yes, that's true. And we are also saved for something. We are saved to know God and be known by God and to bring him glory. And we are saved for this purpose, this why, this mission, to partner with him to reach the world. It is now our purpose, our calling, our mission for each one of us who know him. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Is that true of you? Now, I'm not saying you have to be a missionary to another country, though that may be what God would eventually call you to. But are you and I on mission where we are? Do you see your life's purpose as being on mission here in Utah? At your work, in your home, in your neighborhood, with your family? Do you consider yourself a missionary for Jesus in Utah? What better purpose can we have to live for than this? What Jesus has called us to, has given us to, commissioned us to, invited us into, to work with him. What better purpose? We aren't saved to just go on with our lives as if something has not happened, as if nothing is new or different, to just look and live like the world that is perishing and in rebellion to a holy God. We're not just supposed to go doing what they're doing. Amen. We aren't saved to just get caught up in the worries of this life, in the riches of this world, in our own dreams. We aren't saved to just live for ourselves and fit God's call into our lives like when it's convenient for us. Like, hey, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and God, just, I'll let you know when it works out. I'll keep you on the back burner. That's not what he's called us to. He's not called us to act as if this world and this earth is all that we have to live for. We are living for something that is eternal. This kind of thinking leads to unfruitful lives when we think we're just living for ourselves or for this world. You remember the parable of the sower, Jesus explaining the fruitfulness of the last two places where the seeds of the gospel fell, comparing the two. He said, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but are all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Church, I don't know about you, but my heart's desire, I don't always live it, but my heart's desire, truest desire before the Lord, is to be a good, fertile soil that bears fruit for the Savior. To work for him, work with him. The only reason I even have life and breath in my lungs is because of him. I want to lay it down for him, for him to work through me. It's all his work, but we have to be willing to partner with him, willing for him to work through us. To be honest, I need reminders like this message. I think we all do. Even if you have heard this message for almost 20 years like I have, the truth that we are hearing, we need to be reminded of year in and year out, and probably even more often if you're like me. So to ask ourselves, what am I living for? What is my purpose? What is my vision? What is my why? What is my mission? There are certain things that we say in my home at times, we don't always repeat them, and when we don't repeat them, we forget them. But when we say things like to my kids, hey, I need you to listen, I need you to be kind, and I need you to obey. That's what I expect of you. And to be honest, it's easy to forget to say those things, and sometimes like, hey, what's the three things I need you to do? And my kids forget. You haven't said it in a while, Dad. Okay, yeah. I need that reminder too. I need to say it. We all need the reminder. So it happens. But we need to be reminded and say it again and again and consistently say it so that we can live it. Just like this purpose that we have. Again, another great quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said this, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let no one go unwarned and unprayed for. Are we reminding ourselves that this is the reality for so many people? That this is our job? To hold back those who are going to slaughter. That is our why. That is our why, church. People are going to hell, and Jesus' heart is for the lost. He sent us to tell them about what he did for them on the cross. May we keep that on our hearts and our minds this year. Next, we're going to look at our how. The how is our mission statement: to win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. This mission is the way that we can fulfill the vision that we have. It is the practical way that we can keep what we are aiming for in focus. And so for us here at The Rock, as the pastors, we funnel everything that we do through this saying. This is a phrase that we have said at times and still use at times. If it isn't win, build, or send, let it end. If it's not one of these three things, if we can't filter it through that, maybe it's not for us. It's a way for us to determine if we should do something, whether it's an event, an outreach program, a class, a resource that we will provide, money we should spend, whatever it might be. We ask, does this fall into win or into build or into send? And if we can't confidently say that, then we say it must not be for us here at The Rock. It doesn't mean that's bad or wrong. It just means that there might be another group or a church that honestly could do it better than we could and might be called to that. It just helps us keep our focus clear because it is the way that we execute the vision by reeling in what we do through our mission. So we accomplish the vision through our mission. Thomas Edison said this: vision without execution is hallucination. So we don't want to be delusional. We don't want to hallucinate. We want to make it clear how we can carry this out as a church, how you can walk this out as members of this church. We want to make it super crystal clear what the execution is. Ephesians 4 said this: and Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Shepherds there could also be translated pastors, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. I honestly think that this is the blessing and the purpose of the local church, to give a clear vision and a clear mission focus that believers can live out. To be equipped not only theologically and spiritually to honor the Lord in your life, to live for Him, to preach the gospel and fulfill the Great Commission, yes, but also through the local church there is a practical equipping, a very clear instructing, and a very direct implementation of gospel-centered missional living. Let me say that again. Through the local church, there is a very practical equipping, very clear instructing, and very direct implementation of gospel-centered missional living. I believe this with my whole heart. I believe this next statement. The local church is the vehicle that God has used and is using to change the world. It is. The church, His people, in whom His Spirit resides, and He fills and He works through to change the world, the local church. There's been no greater thing in my life or my family's life to revolve around. To have the flow of our life, our schedule, the rhythm of our life be around the local church. It has truly been life-changing. And that is because of the work of Jesus through His church. The focus and the work and the purpose of the local church is to point to Jesus. So as much as possible, we want to be around those and that which will point us to Jesus. Is that your heart? Is that our heart? That doesn't mean there aren't hardships. Doesn't mean there's not interpersonal conflicts that you have to work through. Hurts, unintentional misunderstandings. But all of those things help us be more Christ-like. It's honestly better for our faith to have those things, to make us work through that, to honor the Lord through those things. Running away from them doesn't do that. Working through them does. Honestly, God has used this local church to change my life. The vision and mission of this church have given me something tangible to hold on to and live my faith out through since I was 18 years old. I love the people in these pictures, and there's many I couldn't fit into this one slide, many who aren't there. The saints who have profoundly impacted my life and my faith, the people who have shown me so much grace, people who taught me and encouraged me how to be a man, how to be a husband, how to be a father, how to honor the Lord, how to live out my faith, how to share the gospel, how to grow up. Sadly, a number of these people are gone too. Some are now with the Lord and are doing awesome. Some have moved away and are still following Jesus, amen. But sadly, many people in this photo have walked away from the Lord and honestly left this church angry at the church and at me, just to be honest. But these pictures represent the life-changing mission that Jesus offers to you, that you can live in the community and the vision of the local church. Let me say this. It doesn't matter if it is this local church. Hear me on this. It doesn't. If this isn't the local church for you, that's okay. Find one and be committed to it. It should be a local church that you get fully plugged into and you lay your life down at. I implore you to do that. Find one. Commit to it. Serve there. Be known. Know others. Have authority. Have somebody have authority in your life to call you out, to love you enough, to help you. Find a local church. It is a life changer. If you've experienced that, say amen. So, I want to take some time to show you some things that we do here at The Rock with regards to Win, Build, Send. The reason is threefold. First, I want to show you how incredibly good God has been to us. We can't take any of the credit for what I'm about to share. He gets all the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. It is His. Second, I want you to see how we determine if some things are win, build, or send. And or win, build, or send. Sometimes certain things can be two. Sometimes they can be all three at once. And third, I want to show you how much of an opportunity you have, we have collectively, to participate in what God is doing in our midst. And I want to invite you to join in. So we're going to look at some highlights of last year. It's kind of small, but we'll read through them together. The first one, which is a glory to God, last year at The Rock Church in 2024, we averaged 934 people at our weekend services, which is a 7.5% increase from the year prior. This is incredible. You need to know this. Don't miss this. Over 490 new visitor bulletins were turned in last year. 400, that's not just individuals. That could be a family of 10 turns in one bulletin. You need to know that's unheard of. That is unheard of. We have churches that we love and know, and if they had two in a year, they would be ecstatic. We had almost 500. God is doing something. Do not be ignorant to it. Do not miss out. Join in. This is incredible. 1,470 people attended Easter weekend. That's mind-blowing. So, obviously, we need to know our church service, our attendance is a win. It is a build. It is a send. All three at once. Almost every week, people are coming to know the Lord in this building. Hallelujah. We want to build you in your faith as well. That's why we have these sermons. That's why we sing together. That's why we fellowship. It's a win and a build. And also, you need to know it is an opportunity for you, Christian, to be sent every single week into this building. You need to know that. We have so many new people all the time, even here tonight. We need your help to go and reach out to them, to love them, to share the gospel with them, to connect them into this church. We can't do it alone. So each week, we have an opportunity to win, build, and send here. Also, moving on, salvations. Last year, glory to God, we had over 75 people that we know became Christians through the ministry of The Rock Church. That could be more possibly, but 75 that we know of. Baptisms, over 55 people were baptized last year. Amazing. Again, those are wins, and we just give all glory to God. Number four, small groups. We offered 57 small groups in 2024. That's definitely a build the believer. That's why we have those, for you to be built up in your faith, to grow in the Lord, to know others. Brent did some math this week. He said that adults, you can't read that. Sorry, that number got colored differently. Let me tell you, 576 adults are signed up for small groups. That's amazing. The math that Brent did, if you include the average kids that we have per adult, we have over 75% of our church in a small group right now. That's incredible. So glory to God, but we want 100% in small groups. That would be rad. But just some things hopefully encourage you. Mission of the City, last year for our week-long Mission of the City, we had 33 projects, over 400 volunteer slots filled. That is a sending the sanctified into our city to go be the hands and feet of Jesus and opportunities to win the lost. Last year, you remember, we celebrated our 25-year anniversary in August, 25 years of winning and building and sending here at the Rock Church. That was a fun time. You remember Tyler Kelly's dance moves? They were awesome at this the dance party that we had. And Michael Haysbrook, he was, you know, cutting a rug, as his generation would say. Love you, Michael. Short-term mission trips. We had 4 mission trips last year around the globe, Croatia, Sweden, Honduras, and Italy. We have more trips coming up this year, but that's definitely ascending the sanctified, to go reach people for the gospel. It's amazing. Missionaries, we support the Wish family long-term. They're in the Congo. That's definitely ascending the sanctified. We sent them where they're sending church. They were here for sabbatical last summer. It was great to encourage them. But just amazing things that are happening in our midst. The Rock Camp Out last year had over 290 people register and attend. That's definitely a build, a fellowship. If you go to the camp out every year, you know how fun that is. We've also seen people get saved at that. People get baptized almost or every year in the lake. It's so fun. Continuing on in our highlights of last year, the Rock Music, TRM released 7 new songs. We hosted a release concert and art show in October for the EP we released in October. The Rock Music is definitely our goal, our heart is to win the law, or is to love God, bless the saints, and win the lost. So it's definitely an extension of wanting to go out and be sent into the world to tell more people about Jesus. And so all glory to him in that. Youth group is amazing, so fun. You guys donated over $10,000 to the Easter bake sale last year, which was so cool. That went towards things like discipleship training camp, where 315 teens and parents attended the conference in Colorado. That's definitely a build, seeing teens built up in their faith, being ready to be sent out into the world, and that was because of your generosity. Operation Christmas Child, that's definitely a send. It's one of our CARES ministries that we sent 605 Christmas boxes. Mental Health Matters, that's a build where we want to see people just grow and get tools for their mental health. We hosted 4 different events last year. That was awesome. Creation class, Pastor Josh taught us about creation, 14-week class on creation, averaging 96 people, right up his wheelhouse. It's his passion is to teach that. So if you have creation questions, ask Pastor Josh. Definitely a build. The Rock Serves, again, one of our CARES ministries, being sent to give 200 meals and so many other cool things that they do. You can be a part of that. And then finally, sermon series. Last year, we studied Romans. King Jesus was our politics series, and Titus, Galatians, and the parables. It was a great year of sermons. So I hope you see all the amazing ways that God is moving in our midst to fulfill the vision and mission of reaching the world. We want to invite you. We want to invite you to be involved in this mission. Wherever you are, I want to encourage you to make the next move. Here are some very practical ways that you can get involved wherever you're at. If you're a new person, brand new to our church, go to the Next Steps class happening next week. If you've been around for a bit and you're not volunteering at our church, it takes so many volunteers to make a service happen. There's so many needs, and we would love for you to get involved, that you can be a blessing to the church by watching the kiddos in the back or making coffee. Right now, specifically, I'm looking for somebody who would be willing to help be a setup person on Saturday nights, to show up like an hour and a half early, straighten the chairs, make sure things are turned on, that the building looks spiffy for people. I'm looking for that right now. We need volunteers at this church. You can join a small group if you're not in one. That is truly the heartbeat of our church, to be built up in your faith. And then finally, if you've been around a while and you've been in a small group, I'd encourage you, why don't you take a leap of faith and lead a small group? Talk to Pastor Brian about that. And then also go on a short-term mission trip. Honestly, nothing has opened my eyes more to the global mission and need and passion for the world than a short-term mission trip. What an impact they have on your outlook. If you've been on one, you know it. So as your brother, I want to encourage you. As your pastor, I would love to challenge you. And as your friend, like Pastor Brian says, I triple dog dare you to take one of these steps. Our hope is to make it super practical and easy for you to get involved in this mission and winning, building, and sending. And honestly, I want to share quickly, one of the easiest ways that you can do that is just by inviting people to this church service. Honestly, text someone, call them, talk face to face to them, say, come sit with me, I'll save you a seat. It's so simple. You don't have to always know how to share the whole gospel, but like, hey, I can invite you to church and allow God to work in that. Also, another simple way that we see, if you'll let me talk about it for a minute, is one of the easiest ways that we have today is the internet, specifically social media. You should know I run our social media at our church. Those are our handles up in the top right. I would love for you to follow us. Hopefully you are following us. It's a funny thing that we talk about at our church to like, hey, get off of social media, and also we would love for your help in social media. The irony is not lost on me. I get it. But part of the reason I say it is because I know you're still on it. Okay? We know. So I would encourage you. I'd ask you to engage with what we're doing online. We don't just post things for no reason. We post them to have a kingdom impact, to hopefully see people saved, or people know about our church, or to encourage a believer with truth. In a sense, it's a super easy way to be sent into the world to your friends and your coworkers and neighbors. And also with the worldwide reach of the internet, obviously, only the Lord knows, but you never know where that content might go to the ends of the earth. There are some free, easy ways that you can help our church reach out to the lost and encourage the believers through social media. It's these things at the bottom. Honestly, I would encourage you, I'd ask you, I won't beg you, but maybe I would just kindly ask you, if you would, just engage with what we're posting. There's weird, tricky algorithms and all those things, and it's difficult and confusing on all the platforms, but if you give a like or a comment there, it costs you nothing, but it does go a long way in having people see our content. If you share it, it introduces it to other people, to our page. If you give a message, that helps with the algorithm too, and it's just an encouragement, honestly, to me, to see people encouraged by the content. And then finally, if you save it, that helps, honestly, the most with our engagement. And that probably means nothing to you, but just take my word for it. So if you click that little bookmark, it can help go a long way. And while we're talking about this, because Steele already talked about it, we're almost done. Got just one more thing we're going to fly through. But we don't just release music just to release music. We do it to tell people about Jesus and encourage them. And things like streaming have changed releasing music in a lot of ways. So if you can go to that website and pre-save this week, Forever Love, it really does help get the word out more. It does. And again, I know you're all looking at this and going, yeah, no thanks. But you could do that, and it would bless me. So I just ask you, it's between you and the Lord, but I want to make it known to you. We don't have a label. You guys are our support group, so we just thank you. Maybe listen to the song when it comes out, or 100 times. So that's our social media. Our mission is to win, build, and send, even on the internet and through social media, through 2025 and beyond. So quickly, our final point is the when, and that's now. That's now. You can join us now. In 2025, reaching the world. That's what we're doing. Isaiah 6:8 says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. I pray that would be your heart through this. We can't just sit here. It doesn't just happen. You know, you got to get up and do something about it. You got to make a conscious decision. Let me share a quick story. When I was a little kid, I used to sit in my basement and watch Power Rangers and Boy Meets World and Disney Channel movies, and I had this idea for a while that, like, I want to be on those shows, and so I literally just went and sat on this curb in front of my house and said, someone's going to show up and know I'm here and put me in a kid's TV show. It's going to happen. I don't got to do anything about it. And then I learned. But you got to do something about it. It doesn't just happen. So we have a lot of ways you can get involved this year. I'd encourage you to take a picture of this. A lot of dates, a lot of things. Small groups, sermon series, invite people to church, March for Missions, Easter weekend, the camp out, DTC, 8th grade through 12th grade, we'd love for you to join us. Mission to the City, men's night, ladies' nights, all the things. And we got short-term mission trips happening this year and in the future years. So before we close, allow me to share one thing. To live this out is going to take sacrifice. It just is. It might take change in your life, making a conscious change in your life. It might take work for this to happen. It might mean doing less of some of the other things you're already doing on your schedule. For some, it might mean changing the amount of hours you work so you're not working 80 plus hours. It might mean making changes to your budget so that your money, you're not so strapped and stressed about your money. It might mean sacrificing money to go on a mission trip or donating to those that are, supporting those that are going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It might mean training your little children to behave and sit still at a church event or a small group, taking work. It might mean teaching them to be flexible on bedtimes or nap times because we're doing something more important for the kingdom. It might mean working through a conflict with that person that you're avoiding, so that you can work together for Jesus. Whatever it is, it will be a sacrifice. But it's a good sacrifice to live the life that Jesus is calling us. Ultimately, this is how he calls us to the life that we can find in him. He says this, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Have you decided this is the way you will find your life? Have you decided? Or will you continue seeking after your life as if you're the captain of your own destiny and maker of your fate and all that other crap that the world tells you? Jesus is saying this, pick up your cross and follow me. Come and die, and you will find life. A life that you could have never expected. I will give you the life that you could have never seen possible. Come and die. And it makes me think of Peter Pan, one of my favorite characters. He says, to die will be an awfully big adventure. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for an opportunity to be together, to worship you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as your kids, as your people, Lord, that you would help us to be reminded and show us what role each one of us has in this big adventure of seeing the world reach for you in our lifetime, Lord. We ask for that. We ask that you would send us. The harvest is plenty and the workers are few, Lord. Would you send us? Here we are. Would you help us in our lives change things, take away what we must so that we can live more fully for you? Well, we can't do it all. We can't. Would you help us with that balance? But would you help us to trust you more, to step up, to live for you more, to lay our life down more fully? I pray that we would each hear from you what our role is so we can work together, Lord, to win the lost, to build the believer, send the sanctified, ultimately for your glory and for our good, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.